This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome back to the Escape Hour. We are going to be talking to Roz Grundy. Hello, Roz. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Roz, you are the Victorian editor of The Good Food Guide.
Yes.
And the Good Food Guide Awards, of course, were held in Melbourne this year. Because are they normally in Melbourne or do they swap between Melbourne and Sydney?
Well, up until last year, we had a Sydney guide and a Melbourne guide, and we each had our own awards ceremony. But this last year it became a national awards, and the first one was held in Sydney because we know that Sydney's the centre of the known universe. This year we wrested it back from Sydney, and I'm not very keen to give it back to them. It was fun to have all the chefs from all over the country flying into Melbourne and getting around town. It was great.
Well, look, we are spoilt for choice, as we know, and you have one of the toughest jobs in the world because you have to actually go around and taste and you know, create a system of awards and hats, which, of course, in other countries is known as things like the Michelin Guide and Stars. But we have our own hat system here in Australia. How long have you been reviewing and hatting restaurants and de-hatting? Of course, we have to talk a bit about that too.
Because, of course, you started when you were very, very young.
Extremely young, yes.
Just of a girl.
Straight out of the cot and straight into reviewing, because I've been doing it for probably 20 years. More than 20 years. Yeah.
Wow.
So the word hat has a really powerful cut through in Australian dining scenes. When we talk about a hatted chef, hatted restaurant, it means something. It really turns people's mind to quality.
Yeah.
How do you objectively measure that when cuisine is just, it's not that easy to put Vietnamese next to Italian, next to French, next to modern Australian, and then come up with a standardised guide? How do you...
Yeah, that's right. So we do have a bit of a formula, and it is a combination, I think, of subjective and objective, because it's very hard to be completely objective when you're judging food, service, that sort of thing. But we have a formula where we mark the restaurants out of 20, and we give 10 points for the food because that's the most important thing, then 5 for service, 3 for the ambience and the fit-out, and then 2 allocate for other things, special things, such as an amazing view or some other special feature. And we do try to put aside our feelings about, you know, whether, say, for example, Vietnamese food, you might say, oh, well, that's not my favourite cuisine, but we do try and judge it by thinking, is this a good example of its kind? Is it achieving what it's setting out to do? And so in that way, taking away our own sort of
personal tastes,
personal biases and that sort of thing, how well is it going by their own measure?
Because you must ruffle a few crocked-footed, chef-panted, because they're not really pantyhose, are they? But you must ruffle a few crock-footed people when their hats go up or down.
Well, we did have a chef, and I won't name him. who came up to us and before the night was even over, and said, "My restaurant is a two hat restaurant by anyone's measure. How come it's only you've only given me one hat?" Yeah, that's awkward. So yeah.
So he lost two of those discretionary points right there, didn't he?
Maybe. But the thing is, we review every single year, so we'll be back again next year. Yeah. And
it's all anonymous.
That's right. Which in itself can be a bit of a problem when you forget what name you've booked under.
It's so true. And also, you know, Melbourne's a small town. So.
Well, that's right. So if you repeatedly use a fake name, if you call yourself, I know, Bessie Joe Voss for example, and rock up to a restaurant repeatedly using that name, then chefs tend to text that to their mates and say, yeah, oh, she's booking under this name. And they also do share your mobile number. So we have to now use someone else's mobile number to book under and that sort of thing, because everyone, they want either an email address or a mobile number or both now at restaurants.
So the benefits of having it a national guide.
Yes.
Does that mean that people review from different cities to help build that level of anonymity and also to, you know, kind of cut back on some of those like ongoing relationships, which no doubt you would have with existing venues and chefs in Melbourne?
Sure, and also maybe hometown bias as well. Mm. So it's kind of a benchmarking process. So we've got a core senior team of people who go out to probably the major restaurants. Mm. And also that team tend to divvy up some of the assignments in other cities. So I might do some reviews. I did some in Tasmania this year, and last year I did some in South Australia. And so we try and divvy it up and try and eliminate some of those maybe hometown biases or relationship biases that we might have or not have, and also just to make sure that a hatted restaurant in Melbourne is of a similar standard to a hatted restaurant in Hobart or Brisbane or wherever.
Yeah.
Speaking of the most popular restaurant that won the Good Food Guide Award was, of course, from South Australia, being Arana.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if listeners are aware of Arana, but they specialise in Indigenous cuisine and Indigenous ingredients,
yes,
I should say.
Yeah.
And that's an incredible thing for Australians to be exploring their own, the aspects of ingredients which are not commonly known to them.
Yeah, and I think there's a growing awareness now of those ingredients around the country, not just because of Jock Zonfrillo, the chef at Restaurant Arana in Adelaide, but also Rene Redzepi coming out here and doing his restaurant in Sydney as a pop-up a couple of years ago. And even, you know, I mean, it's interesting, a lot of this is coming from outsiders. Ben Shuri at Attica in Ripponlea is a New Zealander, and he's been exploring Indigenous ingredients too.
Mm. So what are some of the top stories from this year's Food Guide that you would like to share with us in a few minutes?
All right. Well, I thought it was interesting and significant that Restaurant Arana opened their restaurant, and it's Restaurant of the Year this year, and he did it on the smell of an oily rag. And in fact, he got quite emotional talking about opening the restaurant 5 years ago with a small amount of money and 23 credit cards.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary.
So it's been done really on a shoestring, and it's interesting to put that restaurant up against some of the country's best that have had lavish million-dollar fit-outs, million-dollar-plus fit-outs. So that was interesting.
And Victoria regionally won a lot of gongs as well.
Yeah. So on the Mornington Peninsula, the Point Leo Estate, which has been going for a few years as a winery, but they've added to that offer now with an incredible sculpture park. I mean, gosh, on a day like today when the sun's shining, that would be a beautiful place to be,
yes,
with their sculpture and their restaurant. They've got a two-tier sort of restaurants, a dining room and then a more expensive fine dining room called Laura. And Laura picked up the new Restaurant of the Year award this year.
Fantastic.
And Bray in Birragurra picked up the regional Restaurant of the Year this year.
I have been there. It is delicious.
So yes. What do you think next for food in the Good Food Guide?
Sorry, what was the
question? What do you think next for the... Now you've gone national, what's next?
Wow.
Apps.
I think we have to get an app. We've dabbled with trying to get an app up for a few years, and it's an incredibly difficult process because the book is a new book every year, and so the app would need to be a new app every year, and it's quite a difficult process. I don't know if you've been involved with developing apps, but you have to register it, and, oh, gosh, it takes a really long time, so... Mm. I'd love it to be an app because wouldn't it be great to have that on your phone and to have geolocation, that sort of thing. Mm. So we would like to do that. And I think probably trying to expand on the idea of what a hatted restaurant could be, getting some more of the cheaper Eats restaurants. I'm not saying Cheap Eats, but, you know, maybe some of the more world cuisine type restaurants into the guide, because I think that's a lot of where people are eating
now.
Thank you so much for your interest and the good questions. Whenever I come on air with Joy to talk, I always get incredibly insightful questions, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, Roz.
We're going to give you the good interviewer guide to earphones.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.